Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, Doug.
Hello, Doug, other Doug. Benson.
How's it going, man? You sound a little echoey today. Are you in the washing machine?
I'm in the Bat Cave.
Oh, okay. Is that a different spot than when you usually record
from? It's where I've been. I don't know why it's a little different.
I don't know. It could be just my dumb memory because it's been a couple weeks. Do you know who's on the show today?
Who's that?
You really don't know?
I could take a good guess.
You're that good of an actor. as I already told you previously, we got Oscar Nunez, who plays Oscar on The Office, which has become one of the biggest shows ever.
Absolutely.
Like, it was big while it was on, but now, like, streaming services are paying hundreds of millions of dollars to show it. So I'm excited to have him. And I also thought of something we could do today, if you'd like, Doug. And that's, when it comes to the part where we tell him he has to eat some leftovers, we try to say it in unison.
Okay.
So here's the cue. When we get to the part where we're about to do that, I'll say, we're going to do 5 and 5 after the break. But first, Oscar Nunez, we'd like you to, and then you jump in with me, eat some leftovers.
All right.
And then he'll be stunned. He won't know what to do.
Perfect.
Okay, let's give that a try, and let's go to work. Hello, Oscar Nunez. Welcome. To Wide World of Doug's. That snickering you hear in the background, that's the other Doug. Doug.
Hello. Mode. Hi, Oscar. Thanks for being on.
Hi.
We appreciate you being here. I knew you'd be a great guest for this show because you're just a great guest in general. You reenact the opening from Pixar movies while we're talking.
Doug, we've done so many things together over the years.
Yeah, it has been quite a few years. And this show is me and my co-host, Doug Mellard, just get together with somebody and talk about names, and then second part of the show, we just ask you a bunch of questions. And so the first question we always get into with people is your own name, your own first name, Oscar. How has that worked out for you? How do you like the name Oscar?
Well, is this the cold opening or we're in it? Are we into this? Are we going?
We're in it.
We're so deep into it.
A long time ago, I was a precocious child, a Catholic grammar school, Union in New Jersey. I looked into the meaning of my name. It's Leaping Warrior.
Whoa.
I think I was in 7th or 8th grade. And it is a family name. It appears a lot in the family. My grandfather's Oscar. Oscar's my father's middle name. It is my first name. Leaping Warrior. And I think when I was a teenager, one night I did lay in bed and I'm like, why not George? Why Oscar? I'm Oscar. And if you say anything like that over and over again, anything sounds weird.
Right.
I must have been very bored and maybe high. I don't know, but I was faster. But all in all, it's done me right. I can't get mad at Oscar. The only problem, there was some friction early on. There was and it's still around, Oscar Mayer Wiener. It is a meat hot dog brand. Around when I was in grammar school and the kids tried, that's the only thing they had on me, is I wish I was an Oscar Mayer Wiener. So they could do that, but few kids engaged because I was very good. I was a very good verbal rapier, and I could cut them down. I could hurt them more verbally than they could hurt me with Oscar Mayer Wiener. So that didn't happen very often.
Right, because you're a leaping warrior. That makes that's sense. Right.
Yeah. And it's Oscar Mayer, you know, a trick is, you know, if you're a kid growing up and they get, and people are picking on you, or you're picking on someone and they give you a big reaction, that only means you're going to go in more for it. But if you laugh yourself at the thing and you don't make a big deal of it, they're like, and they just stop. They stop. So that didn't last very much, but that was the only thing, Oscar Mayer Wiener, that people could use kind of against me. Other than that, I've had a good time with Oscar. There was a basketball player, Oscar Robertson. When I was growing up, he was a good basketball player. Not too many Oscars around, you know? Oscar Wilde, you know, not too many. So it's kind of it's a Spanish name, but yet it is a Nordic name. It's Oskar. Is a spelling that is like kind of Nordic, Norwegian or something. And there's also, I don't remember, but there's a brand name of sardines called, am I mistaken, Oscar, something, Prince Oscar or something in Oscar. And my mom used to love sardines. And so that's the only connections I have with Oscar as far as, you know, the wider world out there.
There's also, isn't there like Oscar is a style of a dish? Something could be like something a la Oscar.
Now you got me thinking. Not only that, something a la Oscar. That sounds like I don't really know. I know there's an Oscar fish, which I had Oscar fishes. They come in tiger and in red, an Oscar fish, and they're freshwater fish. They're a big fish, and they're pretty aggressive, and they eat goldfish whole. And there's Oscar De La Renta, which was a designer, and an Argentine heavyweight boxer, a white guy named Oscar Bonavina. And he was around with Frazier and Quarry and Ali, and those guys are around. And he was okay. He wasn't the best. He was okay. He gave them a run for their money, and he was in the mix. You always heard that name, Oscar Bonavina, you know, with Jimmy Ellis and Frazier and Ken Norton and all those guys. He was in that mix. He was from Argentina. His name was Oscar Bonavina.
How did you end up being Oscar on The Office? Did they just give you that name because they liked you and just wanted you to be on the show, so they called that character Oscar?
Greg Daniels thought it was a good Office name. He wasn't wrong. He asked myself, Angela, Creed, and Phyllis, do you mind if we keep your names? Because we can't think of better Office names. like Office names. And I'm like, yeah, what do I care? How long is the show going to last? One season? But that I know, so it gets weird when someone's like Oscar in the street, and I'm like, oh, they don't know me. They're just saying Oscar from The Office.
Yeah, I mean, you really got a target on your back. You did the Oscar on The Office? Did they say his last name very often?
Thank goodness, at least he was Martinez. It wasn't my real name.
Although, there you go.
But Doug's Creed Bratton. I think his name is Creed Bratton on The Office too. That's crazy.
Wow.
But that's Creed. It stands to reason.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. When I did Curb Your Enthusiasm, one of the other actors in a scene just ad-libbed, called me Doug. So then that stuck. I got to be Doug in an episode of Curb, even though just that one reference to it was enough to get me labeled.
Doug, what season were you in Curb?
Season 2.
I think me too.
Oh, wow.
I was in season 1 and didn't get it, but everybody was nice in the room. So then I got back in there a second time, season 2, and then I got in.
What was the bit? What was your What was the episode?
My bit was that I thought that Larry had killed my uncle. So at the wake or funeral or whatever, for some reason it's a Jewish thing.
Shiva?
Yeah. At Shiva.
Shiva.
I accuse him of killing my uncle, and I get Larry in a headlock, and I made the first time the series ended, when they thought it was over, and they, made that episode where, Larry dies and all sorts of stuff happens. There was a sequence where they just strung together every time Larry had been in a physical confrontation, or most of them.
Right.
So I made it into that supercut. So that was kind of exciting.
I got to go back and see that. I got to go back and watch that episode.
It's pretty wild. I get it's one of those ones where I have a few scenes, it's not just too quick. What did you do on there?
I played a parking lot attendant and he never had any money. Every time he came in, the car, he never had cash on him, and he's in this beautiful car, and then I lend him $10 and he didn't have the money to pay me back or this. And then the other parking lot attendant was Karen Karen Marayuma, who was my teacher at the Groundlings, and she was the other one, and she did her Japanese accent and I did my Spanish accent, and we were both parking lot attendants for Larry David. It was very funny.
It's so funny when you say that little exchange with him in the show. If it was anybody else, that wouldn't be funny. But because the circumstances around that show, instantly, you're laughing at, I don't know. It's just weird circumstances. That show's so funny. And if it was anybody but Larry David, it wouldn't be funny. But that's hilarious.
I was very happy because I made him laugh and they had to stop.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really.
Yeah, because he comes and I gave him $10, and then he comes back and he's like, look, I don't have your money. I had it, but I gave it to someone and now I don't have. And I say to him, did you ever see the movie The Spanish Prisoner? Because that's what I feel is going on. And he went like this. And then the director's like, don't say that. So we did something else. But that made me very happy.
Yeah, but then get that line out. Get your laugh line out of there. I'll have the laugh.
Yes, that's right.
Rich Robinson would just be mad at him. What about Dougs? Have you had any close Dougs in your life? Most guests that we have on the show, they kind of think about it and they don't know too many Dougs.
I know you, and there's a buddy of mine, Doug Dickstein, who we waited tables and we had a lot of fun, and we waited tables in Glendale years ago when here in California, and we had a lot of fun waiting tables together. And anyone else? That's it. Just Doug Dickstein. Let me think before.
What does Doug Dickstein do besides wait tables?
He was a writer and now he's, what does he do? He's got his own company now. I don't know what it is, but he's still here. He's still in California. Funny guy. We had a lot of fun waiting tables, as one does. And who else? That's it. I'm trying to think another actor other than you, Benson, that mm-hmm. might have come through The Office.
I mean, Doug Dickstein kind of has to be a fun guy, right? If your name is Doug Dickstein.
Yeah. Just
way too much going on there against you. You gotta be a pretty sweet person, I think, to get away with it.
Yeah. He was a funny guy. He was a good writer. I remember once he came over the house. I was in Glendale. I had a barbecue or something. And I gave it to him, or some piece of furniture that he came over, and I was giving it to him as a gift. And so I opened this trunk and I was putting it in the trunk, but for some reason he always had an air. He was always like, he stood like those guys who stand like a question mark, like kind of lazy with their hips forward and just like kind of very intellectual and always like doing this and speaking softly. And I don't know, Oscar, I don't know, you know, he's kind of cool. And I noticed halfway through doing him this favor that I'm the only one sweating, grunting, picking up this furniture and putting it in the vehicle. And he's just standing there like I'm working for him. I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Oh, right, right. I guess I should. What do I do here? I'm like, I don't pick something up and move it, for Christ's sake. I don't work for you.
It's not come over and help me move. It's come over and move me.
I was literally doing it. It was for him. I'm surprised I didn't hop in the van and go with him and then empty it out at his place while he stood around having lemonade.
I can feel the angst all these years later.
I remember it.
I want to know who the poor sap is that's still mad to this day that helped him unload it on the other end, you know, while he stood and watched.
You know, we are who we are. I'm always trying to like hustle and like, what do you need me to do? You know? And other people are like, please get that for me. And you're like, yeah, okay.
You love to pitch in, and that's something I've always liked about you. And before we get to your questions, we've written five questions each for you. We haven't consulted with each other. We've only matched on a question that we wanted to know from a guest one time. So it'll be 10 varied questions. But before we do that, we would like you to help us out because Oscar Nunez, we'd like you to eat some
leftovers.
Here in my house?
Leftover questions from the last guest. We ran out of time during Ricky Lindholm's questions last week. You know Ricky.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a delight. So we have a couple of her questions left over, and we're just going to ask you, and you can, you know, answer them any way you choose. We're so proud of these questions that we write that we still want to share them.
Copy that.
And maybe they'll even apply to you. You want to go ahead, Doug, and ask him your first question?
Yeah. First question for Ricky/you. Because you were in the ABC Muppets series in 2015, excluding Miss Piggy and Animal from the Muppets, out of the rest of the Muppets, who should be feared most?
Well, that still smells fresh. It may be a leftover, but that's still.
I feel like Animal and Miss Piggy are too obvious. So
the hippie girl. What's her name?
Yeah.
Janice?
Her name.
Is it Janice?
Oh, yeah.
The one with the big mouth?
I think that's her name, Janice.
Yeah, Janice.
She should be feared because she's got a Joni Mitchell vibe. She's so cool and laid back and everything. It's kind of sexy. But she's always got drugs on her and she's so dangerous because she's like, here, take this, when Noah's watching. And then you'll take it. You're like, what did I just take? Muppet pills? and then you get in trouble. And she's like, what are you talking about? She always finds a way out because she's so cool with her sloping shoulders and hips and her low-fitting jeans.
What does she play in the band?
Tambourine, I want to say. She just kind of hangs out.
Or vocals, I guess.
Vocals, right? She's cool.
Yeah.
I am so glad that was a leftover for you because that was one of the best answers. That was amazing.
Yeah. Usually people don't go like, let me name one that I don't know the name of.
I challenge anyone to not have a crush on her. She's awesome.
She's amazing, but there's so much depth to that answer, and you were really put on the spot. That's incredible. Thank you.
Yeah, Ricky wouldn't have answered that one very well. Because just asking us to fear Muppets is already an interesting proposition. You know, like I can't think of any ones that I'd be scared of.
They've been around just like the Harlem Globetrotters forever, but there's so many of them. There's so many Muppets. It's like guy in the background. There's guys in the background. There's the A-team of the Muppets, right? Steve Carell, the Rainn Wilsons. And then there's the other guys in the back. They're just as interesting.
There's like 50 Muppets that have names that, you know, lots of people wouldn't know.
That's right. And now there's new ones. They're coming out with new ones.
Yeah, Elmo.
Doug, Elmo's been around forever.
I know, but he, to me, he's like the newest one on Sesame Street.
Aren't they coming out with like black ones or something?
I think so. Yeah. I think they just were, they either just did a special or they're about to introduce them, and they got some cool celebrities to come on and be with the new puppets.
Where are the transgendered Muppets?
Yeah. That's probably going to take another second if they just got around to black ones.
I know they just got around to black ones. They should just go ahead and jump and do the whole thing.
Yeah, just keep jumping. There's no reason to slow down.
Do the whole rainbow of humanity. What are you waiting for?
Let's get into it. All right, here's my first question that Ricky didn't have time for that I'm going to ask you.
Left over again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's four questions left over. She had such great answers to the six of the questions that we didn't get to, to all 10.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so here's your next question for Ricky. Ricky, did you lose that number or did you send it off in a letter to yourself?
I did neither. I took it upon, first of all, we were high because Dan Fagan and Walter were always, so what I did is I sent myself a singing telegram of the number. And that worked, but then I forgot it after that because it was still ethereal. Nothing was written down. I gave the guy the information. I went back home. 2 days later, he shows up singing telegram. I was so captivated by looking at the performance that I forgot to write it down then. So the number was gone. And hence, Fagan hates me.
Well, I'm glad you got the very specific reference. Did you ever, you've seen Say Anything, I'm sure, John Cusack. And John Mahoney has that great scene where he's in a good mood and he's driving his car and he's singing Ricky Don't Lose That Number, like at the top of his lungs, awkwardly. But yeah, that was just a silly question. I wonder if Ricky has had to hear that a few times in her life or if that song's old enough that she wasn't bothered by it too much.
My wife was up at the beginning of the show. The people, the fans at home don't know this, but I'm very bad technically. So my wife was doing keyboards and setting up the satellite dish and all that for this to happen. And her mom is from Pittsburgh. She's from back east. Her mom came out here and my father-in-law and her stepmom and they're cool. And they hung out with Lou Adler and Nicholson, all of that when they were younger and all that stuff. And she said, Oscar, we went to a house party once and Steely Dan was playing.
Whoa.
Somewhere Steely Dan was playing in a house.
Oh my gosh. It's hard to top.
God, Lou, I hate you so much. Damn it. It was a different time. Yeah. I'm doing a deep dive. I'm listening to a book on tape now called, is it The Big Goodbye or The Last Goodbye? I think The Big Goodbye. And it's about Robert Towne, Polanski, Bob Evans, and Jack Nicholson making Chinatown. And it's all about, and so yesterday I watched Shampoo, the night before I watched The Last Detail, and the night before that I watched The Two Jakes, and the night before that I saw Chinatown. So I'm taking a big dive into that era and those guys, that time in Hollywood where the big studios were going away and these young guys, the Bob Evanses in their 30s, these guys were in charge of studios and they were making all these cool movies at that time. Pretty interesting.
Yeah. I feel like you're learning things during the pandemic when a lot of people are getting dumber.
Yeah, it's a pandemic.
That's good on you because I've only watched really bad films like Roadhouse over and over again. So
why? Have you seen the last detail?
Have I seen what?
The Last Detail.
No, I have not.
Jack Nicholson, Randy Quaid's a teenager. It's a good movie. I highly recommend it. You've seen Chinatown, Roman Polanski?
Yeah, I should probably watch something.
It's the same writer, Robert Towne. He wrote all these really cool movies, and he wrote The Last Detail. It's a good movie.
On it. I'll finally
have... You watch it reminisce about back when, Quaid was in a nut bar. He was a good actor.
Yeah, he's really young in that movie. They all are. Nicholson's amazing. You know, what could you say?
Should I throw out leftover number two?
Yeah, that's what everybody's waiting for.
All right, leftover number two.
I'm sorry. Is this number three or number two? I think
number two on my side. Sorry.
On your side.
Overall three.
Okay.
Here we go. On December 27, 2020 at 1:48 a.m., I was high and I wrote a note in my phone that simply says, Arnold R. Hot Dog Jr. Do you have any idea why I would do that? Because I don't.
Oh, first of all, I just really noticed where you are right now. Please read that again.
I wrote a note in my phone while high that just says, this is all it says, Arnold R. Hot Dog Jr. What does that mean?
Arnold R. Hot Dog Jr. And who wrote this letter? Me, myself?
I wrote this at like 2 a.m. while stoned, and I don't know why. So I'm just seeing if there's some clue out there. Maybe somebody has some meaning for this.
Let me see. Arnold R. Hot Dog Jr.?
Yeah.
You know, here's the easy answer. You were sleeping and you thought this is a great idea for A, sitcom, B, a cartoon. And it's like, it's a hot dog, but he's a junior. Arnold and R. Hot Dog Jr., like a dad and a hot dog and his son. And they're both hot dogs.
Yeah.
Hot Dog Jr. and Arnold, the father.
I can see that as a cartoon for sure.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, this is good for Adult Swim. It'll be edgy. It'll be like, what's the one teenage, what's the milkshake?
Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
Yeah, something like that.
There you go.
Something like that. And you're like, this is great. I'll write, and I'll know what this means when I wake up and I'll write the pilot, but this is the idea.
Yeah, definitely do not know what it means, but
so Arnold is a hot dog then.
I guess, or that's just a name.
Well, you know how some people's last name is what they are, especially in cartoons.
Yeah,
that's
Arnold R. Hot Dog.
Arnold R. Hot Dog. But then he put a junior in there somewhere too, right?
Right.
An old dog that won't learn anything.
You're right, Doug, like BoJack Horseman. Arnold R. Hot Dog and Junior.
Mm-hmm.
Even just talking about it gives me some sort of relief, I guess.
Yeah, really I hope so, because I it's bad enough you asked Oscar, but if you asked Ricky that, I would have been embarrassed.
It's funny because it was so important that you woke up and wrote it down. That's how important it was, and now you're like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Coming up to strangers. Excuse me, sir, does this mean anything to you?
We all remember, oh shoot, there was something I should have written down, but we never, when you do write it down, it's never worth it.
Yeah, rarely.
I mean, you know, in your sleep. I'm not talking about when you're awake during the day, you probably have some good ideas that you should write down. All right. Here's I think this is the final leftover for Ricky.
Yep.
Did you watch WandaVision at all, Oscar?
Doug's, I heard a lot about it. I've tried twice or three times to get into it and watch it through, and I peter out. It's not holding my interest, and I don't know why. People are raving about it. My wife's like, let it go. You don't have to. I'm like, but I feel like why can't I click into it? Why would I not care? No, I do not. I've tried. I do not. What am I missing?
Well, I think I've got in my question, I think that I've figured out maybe what bothers you about that show.
I watch American Gods. I watched Lovecraft. I watch everything except WandaVision.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Cause you can still qualify to answer this question, because in the Avengers movies and in WandaVision, Wanda calls Vision Viz for short. That's her cute nickname for him, Viz. And my point is, shouldn't it be Vish?
As long as it's not Jizz, we're cool. That's their little nickname when they're messing around. So she calls him Viz?
Yeah, that's short for Vision. So shouldn't it be Vish
It should be Vij.
Wow.
I think that bothered you, so you couldn't concentrate on what was going on.
It should be Vij, no doubt.
Yeah, that's way too short for Vision, because it cuts off the sh part of that.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
And he doesn't give her a nickname because, you know, it'd be really weird if he was calling her Juan.
Yes. Yeah. Have you watched it? Have you watched the whole thing, Doug?
The full thing is Juan Martinez. I did. I watched the whole thing and I absolutely loved it. But, have you sat through every single, Marvel movie?
Pretty much.
Really? Because that's what's part of the fun of it for me is it's just sort of like such a weird offshoot from those movies. It's such a different angle to take on, the superhero thing. Cause they got to find some angles because you can't just keep doing what they're doing. The first episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier is just like back to normal Marvel stuff. And it kind of suffered in comparison to WandaVision for me personally.
Wow. Okay. I'll go watch. All right.
And I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you're just not digging the, like, you know, because it's twofold. You know, WandaVision is like, it's moving the overall Avengers story forward, but it's also, you know, got this, you know, this twist that the, you know, Wanda's, you know, basically living in a different era sitcom each episode.
Yeah. At the very beginning, the first several episodes, they barely give you a nugget each time to just tinker it forward a little bit. But there's all this context within it that you kind of see later once the big picture comes around. I would recommend, giving it another try just to see
another picture.
Yeah.
Some shows are like, you know, they're worth going back and trying again. I've succeeded, but, you know, I feel like I trust your initial reaction to it and that it's just not going to be for you.
I like that genre.
Funny seeing Paul Bettany do some real like goofy sitcom-y, old sitcom-y like humor though. I really enjoyed just watching him. I bet he had a lot of fun doing that.
I bet. Yeah. No, it's interesting. That's for sure. I'm not going to commit, you guys. I'm not going to say I'm going to go back. Right.
Keep kind of quiet about it because, you know, if an opportunity to be on WandaVision season 2 comes up, you know, you'd be great on it.
But I don't want to say, hey, I'm going to watch it, then not watch. I don't want to do that. The fans out there, they, you know, you can't do that now. Pandemic people, your word means so much. But I'm watching City on the Hill, Kevin Bacon.
Uh-huh.
The thing.
So how's that?
I like it.
You had already seen season 1 because season 2 just started.
I watched season 1.
Yeah. And so now you're into season 2 and there's like one or two episodes in at this point, I think. And
yeah.
It takes place in a different year than the first one or a different city, like a different part of Boston. Is that what happens?
But it's still that Southie craziness. Those people are nuts with their accents. And it's just like, it's back East and it's more Jersey than Jersey. If that makes sense. I'm like, these people are insane, but that's what it is. I like that. And it's the time also. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. He does a good job. It's good to see him.
It's on Showtime. And I haven't seen season 1, so I feel very far behind. But it also feels like maybe you could just jump in at the beginning of season 2, what's going on.
You probably can, but you should watch season 1. It's got a lot of good performances, a lot of good actors. It's good.
All right, cool. So you did it. You ate all the leftovers.
We did all the leftovers.
We absolutely appreciate it. And that's why we're going to move on to the main course. 5 questions from me and 5 questions from Doug Mellard for the great Oscar Nunez. Right after we get back from these messages, we'll be right back.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move.
fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back. We're here with Oscar Nunez and Doug and I, the two Dougs. Oh, have we used that as a, every episode title is kind of a pun or a play on words or something. I don't think we've said the two Dougs yet, have we? Instead of the two Jakes, which we were speaking about.
That's right. Harvey.
All right. So that's for later on at the end of the show now. So let's go ahead and do 5 and 5, starting with Doug Mellard with Hardball question number one. These are specifically for you, Oscar. Here we go.
I'm ready.
I was on an episode back in the day on Last Comic Standing, and I killed it that night. Got a lot of praise throughout the day and the whole audition process. And Brian and Kate were the judges. And I didn't advance. Why do they hate me?
The question snuck up there at the end. Brian from The Office, and who else?
Kate was on.
Kate. And you didn't advance?
It was one of those things where, like, you know, like for that, you have like 15 different auditions throughout the day, it feels like. And I was told every time, like, you're moving on. Just don't screw up. And then I killed it that night. And I was like, everybody, all my buddies all day were like, oh, you're definitely advancing. And then at the end, I was like in shock because I didn't advance. And what's funny is when I left, I saw Kate outside and she started to apologize. And I was so upset. I just walked by her. And I felt so much guilt from then on out for quite a while. And I was like rude to her.
I think I judged one of those things once. And I think I was with Angela or Kate. And we had problems too, because the producers are in your ear.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes you don't get to vote the way you want. And
right.
It's a big deal. Cause I was like, why am I here? And it's not cool, man. Because people like you go up there and then you're like, sorry, you pass. And I had the same experience. I was going home and I think my friend called me or whatever. And he's like, what happened? Cause he was some person I knew was up there. And they're like, I killed him. I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry. We did not vote that way.
Yeah.
So it's politics.
No, I know that's part of it. I actually just felt really bad that she tried to be real sweet to me after that night. It was also very cold because of Minneapolis, but I just walked right by her like, nope, no apology here. And then I ran into her like in Hollywood at some burger joint.
You were pissed at that time.
Yeah, I was very upset because I did very well. I was excited about it.
But did you think when you were up there that they really are voting?
I knew how it worked. I knew how it worked then. I think it was just all my buddies throughout the day saying, you don't have anything to worry about. And I even kept telling them throughout the day, you know how this works. Nobody's safe. And then, but I honestly thought with how it went that I was going to advance, but I just felt bad being rude to her.
I didn't know. I thought we were really voting. I didn't know that you had meetings and they lobbied for the people they wanted you to vote for. And you're like, so why am I here?
Right. Right.
I did get to vote for the person up there.
Nobody wants to watch a show where the producers are sitting there deciding
what's
going to happen, but that's ultimately what it is. And, you know, everybody just has to do their best to get through it. I mean, do you feel like you ever had to say something like, did you ever have to endorse a comedian you absolutely hated because they were in your ear saying vote for that person?
There were people who were really good who they told us, no, they're not going to go forward. And we're like, well, they're the best ones, so why are we even here?
They probably have that argument with all judges all the time.
And I felt bad because then those people, who some of them I knew, and I was the judge, and they're like pissed at me. They're like, what the f-? And I'm like, dude, it's not, we fought for you, but I didn't get to vote. I had no control over it. And they're like, how can you not vote? You saw how good I did. I'm like, no, yeah, I know. And I think it was myself and Angela or myself and Kate. It was one of those combinations. And we were beside ourselves. We're like, what the F?
Yeah, sometimes it's just
diversity. They wanted.
Yeah, they got to cast the thing, you know. So
yes,
white guys named Doug can sometimes get thrown out just for being a white guy named Doug.
Exactly.
The first time I was up for, you know, I auditioned for Last Comic Standing a couple of times before I got, you know, all the way into the, you know, top group or whatever, and. The first time, one of the celebrity judges, one of them was Tim Meadows. And during my set, he was laughing so hard, he physically fell out of his chair. And then, and they left that in the show, but they also then later that night, I get eliminated. So it like didn't make any sense one of the judges was so tickled by it. And then I don't even advance.
Yeah. I think that's what was frustrating. Cause that same season when Tim Meadows was there, I was pretty new to comedy and I made it farther in that season than like the next time in Minneapolis. I was way more confident, way better comic. And I did well. I had a much better set and didn't advance. And so it was just baffling, the whole thing, but still had a good time.
It sucks because it should be the funniest people advance, not.
Yeah.
You know. But, it's weird. It's, the whole area not set up for, it's just the playing field's not level. And then they add these weird extra, issues. Because like that first season, you're talking about, Doug, where both of us didn't make it onto the boat. They straight up went with like five women and five dudes. And, as soon as you're like, have to have five of each, there's going to be some, maybe one or two in one batch that's not, not ready or whatever. And they're just there because they got to fill in those numbers. But I still ultimately had an okay time with those shows, but everybody has a different experience.
I did see Kate later and ran into her and I apologized to her. And I said, she was so nice that night and I was a jerk and she just laughed.
How many times have you seen her in person?
Just a little bit, but
are you like following her around?
It's LA. You just run into people.
Trying to get her on this show, but now I'm scared. I don't want her to come on and you to be all confrontational.
No, I thought she was great. It was just me being a dummy.
Kate's cool. She doesn't hold a grudge. She's from Philly.
She's so great. I got to hang out with her one night when I was in Philly doing the Helium Comedy Club because her family bar is just like a few blocks from there. So I got to like hang out with Kate in her, a family bar in Philadelphia. So that was super fun and super, super painful next day.
Huh. I can see that.
Yeah. Okay, Oscar, here's my first question. Can you believe it? Like, it takes a while to get through these questions sometimes when the guests give great answers. Are you hoping to be the first actor named Oscar to win an Oscar? It hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened yet.
Could be you.
I don't. it's a long shot. Can it happen? Can it even happen? I guess it can. Will it probably?
You never know, right?
We know.
Look, I'm writing a dramatic feature called Arnold J. Hot Dog Jr. I think you'd be perfect for the role. It's Oscar material.
I could be, but you know what? Supporting actor. Don't put pressure on me. Make me the junior.
Okay.
Yeah. On Hot Dog, you know, he's going to be Clooney or someone, and he adopts me, and I'm just a junior.
Yeah. And maybe give him some real heavy storyline that, you know, like, you know, heroin addict or something.
Yeah. The father, he sits me down, and you know where you come from. You're parts of a pig, you know, pig anus and pig. No, don't say that, Papa. Don't say that. And he's like, well, you have to, you know, face yourself. This is where you come from. It'd be a dramatic scene.
Oh, man.
Do you know that there is an Oscar that has an Oscar?
Let me guess. Is it, well, it's not for acting, right? It's not an actor. It is an actor?
It's not an actor. You would be the first actor if you get nominated for a Hot Dog Show.
Oh, you mean nominated or won? Did this person win something?
Yeah, they won the Oscar twice.
Oh my God, for what? Wardrobe or something like that?
Red? His name is Oscar. It was in the musical categories.
Oh, it's the music. It's a composer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool.
Of songs, not the score, the song. So it's
Hammerstein, is it?
Oscar Hammerstein, that's right.
Oscar Hammerstein, that's right. He's an Oscar.
Yeah, so you get a bonus point for that. But he won the Oscar twice for two different best original songs. But also, you know, like that used to probably be more of a funnel through the Oscars, is like a Broadway show would get made into a movie and then win Oscars.
Whereas that, what was that, West Side Story he won for?
Yeah, yeah.
One of the best movies.
I know, he didn't win for West Side Story. That was Sondheim and...
that wasn't even... What did he win for?
Okay. Next question, Doug.
All right, because, Oscar, you were in a couple episodes of Shameless. Just curious, do you happen to know what the H in William H. Macy stands for?
No. Henry?
I have no idea. I was just going
to take a Doug, wild guess. Doug was like, I could Google this or just ask our next guest.
William H. Macy.
I want to think, I think it stands for Hieronymus.
Hercules. It's actually Hercules.
Oh, yeah, Hercules is a good one.
It's actually Hall, which I definitely would not have guessed.
That's
what
good.
Hall. I've never even heard that as a name.
Yeah, isn't there another Hall?
It's usually a place.
Right.
Yeah. William Hall.
There's a couple of Halls, yeah.
Huh. Oh. All right.
That's a good name.
Here's my next question. Oscar, is Betty White the best person you've ever worked with?
Wow. Yeah, possibly.
Right? She could be the best one.
Could be the best one. She could be the best person I ever worked with. Yeah, I guess. Cause you know, I'm sure there's been babies around the set, but I don't know their names. And Betty White, we do know her name. She's super cool. On the last day of, on the proposal, when she left, she said to the crew, this has been the most fun I've ever had on a set. And then she left and she turned back and she said, standing up. I'm sure she said that a million times, but it's great.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And she's really cool. I got to ride in a van with her a bunch of times. She was really nice.
Oh, that's because those days you had the good candy.
Yes. When we went from
Getting
the
ready into the same van.
When we did the proposal, we went from the hotel to the location. But I wish I would have hung out with her more. But she's an old lady. She's not going to go out. She knows she stays in the hotel. The fella I did make friends with on that shoot was Dennis O'Hare, who played the attorney. He and I went out for dinner a couple times, and
yeah,
we're still
Broadway royalty. That guy.
He's so good. Such a good actor, Doug. He's in everything.
Yeah.
Only you don't know because he's a chameleon. He's wonderful, wonderful actor.
I saw him in Sweet Charity on Broadway with opposite Christina Applegate.
Yeah.
And he was so funny in that show.
Dennis is the real deal.
Yeah, he's good at comedy and drama too.
Yeah, he's the best. So, yeah, so you know what? Let's go ahead and say Betty White is the best person I've ever worked with.
All right, it's official. We're going to put it in the records. I'm going to contact Wikipedia and let them know it's in your entry and in Betty's. And I'm glad that it's official. I'm really.
A very nice man. Steve Carell's a very nice man, but Betty White's nicer.
Okay. All right.
It would have been really strange if you're like, no, worst person, actually. She's a monster.
Guys, listen to what she did.
Okay, your turn, Doug.
All right.
We'll really break him down. I think he might start crying soon.
You were in an episode of the series Where's Waldo? So I just wanted to know, did you find him that episode, and where is he currently?
He's in rehab. unfortunately, and don't judge him, it happens to the best of us. He was just a character in a book, and he did his thing, and he went straight home and barely enough to make a living, which is just what some people need. But when we did this, it blew up, and he was misbehaving on the set. He was showing up late. He was violent and not cool. And you know what? Better for him to be in rehab than to be dead in the street, and that's where he was heading. So right now he's in rehab, and we wish him the best. But I love doing the show because I have a kid, and it was a nice show to do and all that. But he was a mess. He was a mess. Wow. And when I met him, he was at the end of his rope, and he was nice to me, but I saw the way he was treating his wife and mistress and the women around him, and it was a mess. And he's getting better. He's getting better now.
Oh, that's good to hear. He's getting better.
It's getting better.
I mean, I guess if you're missing all the time, yeah, I mean, people don't look into the depth of why that is, you know?
And people took it for granted. He's missing, but it's an innocent kind of missing. He's fine. He's behind the tree. He's behind the rock. No, he's not. Yeah. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't.
There's a metaphor there, too, you know? Yes. Something else is missing.
Yes.
He's got to find it.
That's right.
And he's always got everybody looking for him, but... He needs to look for himself a little bit.
Yeah. The opium den? Have you checked the opium den?
First place he should check.
Have you checked the shooting galleries of, East LA and whatnot? That's where you'll find
him. Quick question. Who are we talking about?
Waldo from Where's Waldo?
Wow. I lost track of who we were talking about, and I just started to feel really bad about whoever it is, and now finding out that it's our treasured Waldo.
Were you making a sandwich or taking a nap? Where'd you go?
I was sitting right here, but I mean, you know a lot about Waldo.
You asked me.
I was like, who is this question about?
Because I was on the show.
It's Betty White.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad he's getting it together, and
he's no Betty White. Does he?
Well, so should we put that down? Waldo's the worst person you've ever worked with?
You can say that. But he's getting better. Don't judge Waldo.
Waldo is the worst. I'm writing it down. All right. So what was that? How many questions in are we?
That was number three for me. So this is number three for you.
Number three for me. Okay. That looks like we only have time for one more question. But I think it's a good one. We mentioned that you're in the proposal starring you and Betty White, co-starring Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds.
That's right.
They're around too.
They're around.
You rode in a van with them as well, or do they get their own van?
No, they have helicopters.
Oh, no. don't they know that that's the number one way for a famous person to die?
It is a little date, you know, you guys.
Scary. Like, just to get back to the hotel, they can't just take a safe car ride?
This is neither here nor there. No, they're wonderful kids. They're really cool people, and they're awesome. But we were in Maui or Kauai. I don't know. My wife and I, and we were hanging out and driving around with people and whatnot. And some taxi driver, someone said to us, because we were talking, we're like, look at this, let's do this, look at this. And someone said to us, whatever you do, don't take a helicopter ride. And we're like, what? And they're like, don't go on those helicopters. We're like, okay, we weren't thinking that. But so is it dangerous? I don't know.
Someone's... I just feel like you hear about helicopter crashes. Like, you don't hear about commercial airlines ever crashing, but you hear about helicopters, like, on the regular.
A little too often. A little too often.
Yeah.
I think human error can be too much of an issue in helicopter or small plane travel. You know, like, it's more of a serious deal if something starts to happen and how they react to it.
But here's the thing, in Hawaii, it's very tempting because they have a discount for student flyers. So if you go to a helicopter place and you go, I'd like a student, please, they'll go, sure, and you get like 70% off. So maybe you're saving money, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, you're also taking 50% off of your life. But yeah, that is helicopters. I mean, I'd probably ride one if I had the opportunity, but I just think the more you do that sort of thing, the more, like, you know, traveling musicians in tiny planes. It's a, you know, cliche.
That's right.
For a reason, because it happens a lot, you know, because they're already in tiny planes a lot.
That's right. I think I would if I had to. They're like, you have to go here to do a job to make money. I'm like, all right, I guess I have to, but I don't know if I'll take one leisurely. Although, you know, I watched Billions and what's the other show, Succession, and they're riding helicopters all the time, those people.
Rich people do jump into helicopters a lot.
Billionaires, they're always jumping into
helicopters. They get the best pilots. They get the pilots that don't go, hey, what, you want to see a trick?
Oh, that's the scariest thing you could possibly hear in a helicopter.
Worse.
Okay, so real quick, so The Proposal is one of my favorite rom-coms. Like, I just think it's a rom-com that, you know, works for anybody who would bother to watch it. Well, what's your favorite rom-com, Oscar?
I love The Proposal. When we got the script, my wife and I read it and we're like, it's a rom-com, but it's good. We like it. Four Weddings and a Funeral is a good one. When I was growing up and I was young, there was a movie called A Fish Called Wanda that was, I don't know if it holds up, but at the time I thought it was so funny. And of course it didn't hurt that John Cleese was in it. And I think Kevin Paling also. And so I thought A Fish Called Wanda was a very funny rom-com when I was growing up.
Yeah. That means you had a bit of an edge, I think, because I wouldn't necessarily call that a rom-com.
What would it be? Was a rom-com? Remember the what's the American actor's name?
The guy, Kevin Kline, was trying to always kind of being romantic with Jamie Lee Curtis, but she was never accepting of it.
He had a crush on John Cleese.
Then there was the whole John Cleese thing and the scene where he has to use a picture of his own face to cover up his wang. There's a lot of Kevin Kline making fun of Michael Palin's stutter.
Yeah.
And so that is a little harder to watch these days.
Oh, it was a different time.
And he's also not nice to the fish called Wanda either.
No doubt about it.
So PETA does not like this movie. PETA is all right with The Proposal, but they do not like Fish Called Wanda.
I went back and saw the other day Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. Remember that movie?
Oh, wow, yeah. Steve Martin.
Written by Carl Reiner and Steve Martin, two mensches, sweet guys. I don't know if you guys remember this. The first like scene of the movie is the beautiful, what's her name? Rachel Ward, or the actress.
Yeah.
She knocks on the door and Steve Martin opens the door and she faints in his arms. So she's passed out in his arms and he looks down the hallway and he kisses her right on the mouth. She's passed out.
Yeah.
And he carries her to the sofa and puts her down and he goes like this and he puts his hands on her breast and starts massaging her breast. And she wakes up and he's like, I was just giving you a mouth. And he does a funny thing. And I'm like, holy shit, did I just block that weird scene out of my mind?
Yeah. No, you didn't think it was that weird at the time because of
I was laughing.
And that was like, oh, that's what you do if a woman passes out. It's a great opportunity.
We were all laughing together in the theater. And now I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Yeah, it's wild.
There's so much looking back in all films and television where you're like, wow.
There's lots of really questionable stuff. But the interesting thing is, like, when it's on TV, it tends to be more like, you know, All in the Family and stuff like that, where like they, you know, they push the boundaries in a way that moved everyone forward. you know, like, you know, there's just so much great stuff going on in TV, like in the 70s, you know, that was politically aware.
But I got to say, the thing about Norman Lear is he had Carol O'Connor there, Archie Bunker, and Archie, it was always at his expense.
Mm-hmm.
Even like, right? When he was being a racist, he was still being an asshole and everyone knew it. So you're like, oh, okay, that's cool. He's a, you know, so he, that kind of took the edge off, and Norman Lear got away with a lot of stuff. It was genius. One of my favorite shows of all times.
Yeah, it's amazing. I got to go to that, you know, when Jimmy Kimmel put on like a new version of All in the Family and the Jeffersons, and it was super cool. A lot of those actors.
That's pretty cool, Doug.
Yeah, it was fun. we got to go. This has been amazing. We got some leftover questions. We'll ask our next guest. It's going to be, I believe, Jimmy Pardo is going to join us.
I know him.
He'll answer your questions that were left over, Oscar. Thank you so much for doing this. Do you have anything that you'd like to promote at this time?
I shot an episode of Zoe's Incredible Playlist. I don't know when it's going to come out.
You had to go to Canada for that.
I did. I went to Vancouver, and Steve Agee was texting me, and I was texting him. We never hooked up because there's a 14-day
quarantine window.
Quarantine, 14-day quarantine. Yeah.
So you went 14 days, then started work on the show, and then came home as soon as you were done shooting?
14-day quarantine, 2-day work, and back home.
Wow.
Yep.
That's wild. Were you able to enjoy those 14 days to a certain extent? Because you knew that what it was, that you just had to be there.
I had a balcony, and that helped a lot. But I remember being there, and I called my wife, and I'm like, how have I been here 3 days or 2 days? This is really hard, and I don't know if I can do that. She's like, you just got there. You've been there one day. And I'm like, no, check the calendar. It's 3 days. She's like, it's 1 day. You just got there. And I'm like, I can't.
Oh my God.
And then Doug's, then it got easier. By the time it's day seven, I'm like, Warden, add another 20. I don't care. You're not going to break me. So it got easier for me after 7, 8, 9 days. I was like, oh, I'm done with this. But at the beginning, it was harder for me than at the end. And I had a balcony, but it was freezing rain and snow, but the balcony helped a lot.
It's still nice to just be able to step outside. Like just being stuck in a room would be.
Open that door and make such a difference. Oh my God. Yeah. I'm freaking out a little bit thinking about it right now.
Well, you're free from that. You're home. That episode will air.
In the future, not the past.
Yeah. Oh, it already aired?
No.
I don't know when it's coming out, but it was fun. It's a good show.
All right, cool. Well, thank you again for being here. And Doug Miller, do you have any final words?
I just want to say, keep wearing those masks and get vaccinated, everybody. We're getting there.
That's a lovely message.
Well, you see a lot of people starting to just spring break it. So let's just hold in there. Hang in there.
All right. As always, this has been the Two Dogs.
Got it.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.